prepare our hearts for the message of God's Word today. We just want to take a few moments just to be still and know that He is God. Amen? Amen. So let's take a few moments just to sit in silence and just allow the Spirit of God to take away all the things that would hinder us and the things from this past week that have caused, you know, some dislocation or desolation, moving away from God, and allow the Spirit of God to restore us through His consoling love and presence. So let's just take a few moments just to be still before Him. We thank You, Lord God, that it's in the quietness and the stillness that we hear Your still small voice. In all the busyness of life, we often get distracted. We often get pulled in this direction and that direction, and yet You are walking with us. Your voice is always constantly speaking to us, reaching out to us, affirming us, encouraging us, strengthening us by Your Spirit. And Lord God, sometimes we just miss that because of the noise of life. And so, Lord, in these last few moments, as we've been able just to be still and quiet before You, Lord, we know that Your Spirit has already begun to speak and move in our hearts. And so, Lord, we just pray now that as we turn our hearts and our ears and our minds to the study of Your Word today, I pray, Lord, that You would give us open hearts, open minds, open, that we'd be open and receptive vessels today as we talk about Your body, the body of Christ. And Lord, we thank You that we can come today and know that You are the Lord of this body, the Lord of this house, and that You walk among this lampstand and You touch us and you fill us and you meet with us and You pour out Your love to us. And so as we come around these tables today, Lord, and this table, where we remember all that You've done for us, Lord, we just pray that this would be a sacred time, a holy time, a time when we can hear You, really hear You speak to us. And we, Lord, we pray all these things in Your precious name. Amen and amen. This morning, we are starting on an adventure together. And over the next couple of months, next 3 months actually, January, February, March, we are focusing in on this whole, the first of each month, on this topic of bodybuilding 101. And you may wonder, why have we got tables all through the sanctuary this morning? And that's because, you know, when we talk about bodybuilding, we're not just talking about, you know, exercising our muscles, right? That's what most of us think about when we think of that term bodybuilding. We think of all the things that, you know, weights and exercises and all those different kinds of things. But we're not going to be talking quite about that today. But, you know, that is the thing that comes to mind for everybody when we talk about this thing called bodybuilding. We're all concerned about health and maintaining our bodies these days, right? We're all concerned about getting the exercise that we need, eating the right foods that we have. And, you know, when we don't do those things, well, then it can kind of compromise our ability to do things effectively. And, you know, one of the things that I'm really conscious of in terms of my taking care of my body these days is getting sleep, the right amounts of sleep at night. And that's why I've got this little ring on my finger. It helps to track my sleep patterns at night and my exercise patterns through the day and things. So I'm really conscious about building up this body. And, you know, this week I was reading a story about a man who was really conscious about, you know, taking care of his body. And so every morning he thought that he would take a pinch of gunpowder and sprinkle it on his eggs. Now, that might sound really strange, right? But he figured that would give him extra strength, extra power and extra strength throughout the day. And so he did this over his entire life. And you know what? He lived to be 96 years of age. And you know, when he died, he left behind him 6 children, 14 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, and a 25-foot hole in the wall of the crematorium. You know, some people said he went out with a bang. You know, some people will go to extremes to, you know, work on their bodybuilding or taking care of their body. But you see, that's not the kind of bodybuilding that, or taking care of the body that we're going to be talking about today. I'd like us to talk about a different kind of bodybuilding today. And that's, you know, a building up the body of Christ. And Charles Colson wrote a book a number of years ago. It's about 30 years ago now. He wrote it in 1993. And so, I mean, this goes way back in our collective memory, right? 30 years ago, he wrote this book called The Body. And this is what Charles Colson said back then about the body of Christ. And I think he was prophetic, in a sense, when he wrote this about the body. He says this: many Christians have been infected with the most virulent virus of modern American life, what sociologist Robert Bella calls radical individualism. They concentrate on personal obedience to Christ, as if all that matters is Jesus and me. But in so doing, they miss the point altogether. For Christianity is not a solitary belief system. Any genuine resurgence of Christianity, as history demonstrates, depends on a reawakening and renewal of that which is the essence of faith. That is the people of God. The new society, the body of Christ, which is made manifest in the world, the church. Understanding the nature and character of the church is absolutely vital. Too often Christians want to rush off and organize anti-abortion campaigns, work for criminal justice reform, clean up inner city neighborhoods, and defend religious liberty. All of these are noble and worthy good works, says Colson. But all are doomed to fail unless they proceed out of who we are as God's people. And here's the thing that really just struck me about this whole quote here. He says, "For we cannot give what we do not have. We cannot impart values we do not hold. We cannot do until we are." To be the church, our highest calling depends on understanding the very character of the body of Christ on earth. For only then can we understand what it means to live as the people of God, serving God in today's world. It's a very challenging quote from Colson's book, written 30 years ago, about the church. You know, as Colson suggests, there may be some of us here this morning who may have different understandings of what the body of Christ really is. Now, he makes it very clear that unless we understand the character and nature of what it means to be the body of Christ and begin to live out from this understanding with purpose and determination, we, the church, are in danger of being irrelevant in the world today. And as you know, as we found out through the pandemic, that many elements of our society see the church as non-essential. So unless we understand what it means to be the body of Christ, then we may become even more irrelevant. So, this morning, I'd like to ask this question. And if you're sitting at a table where there's maybe one or two people, you might want to move to one of the other tables where there's an opening so that you can engage in this next exercise. Because what we're going to do right now is at each table there are some papers on the table. And you can, if you have a pen or a pencil, there should be some pens in the seat backs around the tables. And what I'd like you to do is for the next 30 seconds or so, write out one thing that you know about the body of Christ, or one thing that you understand to be true about the body of Christ. What does it mean to be the body of Christ for you? Okay? Write that out. Take 30 seconds or so to do so. Each person write that out. What does it mean to be the body of Christ? What does it mean for you? This is for you. It doesn't have to be a great theological understanding, but what does it mean to you to be the body of Christ? Is everybody done? Okay. Now, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to pass the pieces of paper to one person at your table who would be willing to read each of those responses to everybody else at your table, okay? So pass them to one person at the table who's going to be your reader, okay? One person who's going to be your reader. All right, and now I'd like that person to read your answers to the rest of the people who are at the table, and this is what you're going to do. You're going to take a few moments, a few minutes, to just have a little conversation after they've been all read out. I want you to zero in on one answer to that question. What does it mean to be the body of Christ? Now, that everybody at the table agrees on, okay? What is it that your table would say is the meaning or your best understanding of the body of Christ together at the table, okay? So take a few minutes now to just engage in that conversation. The person read and then have your conversation. Go. Okay, you guys can just talk with these guys at this table, okay? And if you want to have a hybrid answer, you can do that too. You can put all different parts together. Yeah. And when you're done, have the reader put your hand up and just let me know that you're done that part. All done? Done? Okay, you're ready? Anybody else need any more time?
Yes.
All right. Well, take another 30 seconds to a minute. 1 minute left. Get that mic on. Okay, so for those of you who are at your tables now, the reader, what we're going to do is we're going to have, Enrico is going to come around with the microphone, and what we want you to do, whoever the reader is for your table, will just share what your answer is for the table, your consensus answer at the table, okay? So, Enrico, do you want to start off? Is the green light on? John, can we have the mic on?
Test. There you go. So for ours, it is an amalgamation of each of our answers, and we came up with we are all united in Christ as one body, supporting, encouraging, and strengthening one another in our faith that enables us to serve Christ unconditionally.
Perfect. Okay. You want to just head around and...
Okay, ours is... I'll give me it as well. We have three words.
Fellowship, community, and family.
Say that out.
Fellowship, community,
Fellowship, community, and family.
You guys want to go?
We have being a loving witness to the world, working together to serve God.
Amen.
Okay, we have a few ideas here. One that was very concise, it says the church is a place where we have liberty, a community in Christ to guide us to God.
Mm. Amen.
Also, this group of people have gifts, and we share with each other all in order to strengthen the body of Christ as well.
Amen.
Also, a group of people that in essence share a very strong faith in Christ and walk in Him.
All right.
Also, the body of Christ believes that He lives, that He lived and He lives in us. Everyone coming together and lifting up the name of Jesus and celebrate His coming into the world. To be our Savior, and that's the belief of the body of Christ.
All right.
We are all one in His name.
All one in His name. All right. Thanks, Jamie Lynn.
Christ is the head, everyone holding together, everyone playing a different part and dependent on each other.
All right. Thanks, Jordan.
A community of believers that follow Jesus and that support each other in His commandments.
All right. Thank you so much, Andy. Wow. So as we see, I mean, as we talked about it this morning, as we, you know, come to an understanding that we all see the body of Christ in a little different way, but there's still some threads that we've weaved through our understanding. And so let's take a look now. Okay, that's our own understanding. That's you know, what I what I call our practical theology. Sometimes, you know, we have our theology that we form from our understanding of the scriptures, and then we have our practical day-to-day on the street kind of theology that kind of works out in our life, right? Well, that what we've just talked about is our own collective understanding or practical theology relating to the body of Christ. But now let's see, what does the Bible, what does those who wrote the Bible, Paul and others from the New Testament, say about the body of Christ? Let's explore this a little bit today. What is the body of Christ? Well, the body is a unit. The body is a unit, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. He says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slaves or free. I might add, he says in other places, male or female. We are all given the one Spirit to drink. In other words, we are a unit. We are a, like this human body that we have, we are a body. The body is a unity. Paul starts by encouraging us to look at our own bodies. He says they are made up of many parts that have different functions, yet together they form one body. He says, so it is with Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. We're all given one Spirit to drink. And through the unifying work of the Spirit, we are brought together as one, the body of Christ. So let's unpack what he's saying here today. You know, when it comes right down to it, the body of Christ is a community of believers. We were all baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. When we made that profession, when we make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, as we come to Him, we become part of this organization, this group of people that is called the body of Christ. And therefore, we're a collection of people bound together by our relationship with Jesus Christ. I think that came out, I think, in Andy's table and some of the others. You know, it's our relationship with Jesus Christ that brings us into that fellowship of the body of Christ. So that's where it begins. And I also heard the word family earlier on as well. We are God's visible family on the earth. Because we are joined together as God's people, as those who are connected with Jesus Christ, we form this forever family. It's a whole new community that we have come together with. And you know, basic building blocks of our society is family, right? A man and a woman come together, they have children, and they form a family. And we are the children of God. We are His forever family. And as such, again, we are the community of the redeemed. You know, again, it's not just any old family, it's a family that shares that bond. Because we have been redeemed by God. Because of all that Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary, what we've come together today to remember and celebrate around the table. It's because we have been redeemed by God's great love. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That is who we are. And that's what unites us together. That's what brings us together. That's what binds us together as the forever family of God. But there's something else, not only the love of God that binds us together, but in that passage and in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, Paul says this. So there's just another binding agent to this unity. He says, in Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. By His Spirit. We are a community where God lives by His Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God that lives in you, the Spirit of God that lives in me, the Spirit of God that lives in you and you and you and you and you. Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, He's poured out His Spirit into our heart, and it's the Spirit of God that binds us together. It's when the Spirit that lives in that little naos in you, the Holy of Holies that's in you and the Holy of Holies that's in me, when we come together, we are being built together into that holy temple where God lives. That's the body of Christ. That's the unity of the body of Christ. We are a Spirit organized and we are a Spirit empowered community. And it's the Spirit of God that binds us together. The unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace that we have with one another is because the Holy Spirit resides in you and the Holy Spirit resides in me. It's so important for us to understand this. Because, you know, without the Holy Spirit binding us together, our community can just go off in all kinds of different directions and we can feel disempowered. But when we have that sense of the Spirit of God is the binding agent in our life, it refreshes us. When we come together, it's a refreshing thing rather than I don't want to go to church today because it's so hard to go and be a part of the community of God because those people are so hard to get along with. Coming together as the forever family is meant to be refreshing. I mean, this past Christmas, when we had our family come together for the first time in a long time with my brothers and sisters and some of their family, and we got together, it was so refreshing. My mom at the table in the middle of dinner just said, I am feeling so blessed to have my family around me this Christmas, this first Christmas without Dad. It was refreshing to be part of a family gathering. When the family comes together, because we're bound together by the Spirit of God, we're refreshed. How thirsty are you today? How thirsty are you today for that life-giving touch of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ? How thirsty are you? How hungry are you for the Spirit of God? You know, when we come together, are we thirsty enough for the touch of the healing and forgiving power of the Holy Spirit? When we come together, do we feel that touch of renewal as the body of Christ? That touch of energy, that vitality, that sense of purpose, that sense of enthusiasm. When we come together as the body of Christ, that's what the Spirit of God begins to well up inside of us. The touch of strength, the touch of endurance, the touch that comes of wisdom, of understanding, of knowledge and encouragement as the Spirit of God begins to open our hearts and open our minds to His Word, the Word of God. How hungry, how thirsty are we when we come together to really meet with the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit of God that is around, and that Christ Himself would presence Himself and touch you. How hungry are you as the body of Christ to experience that kind of unity and peace? That's just the first part of what the body of Christ is, as a unity, Paul says. But he goes on and he says something more to this body. He says, the body is an interconnected diversity. Wow, that's a that's a lot to say in one sentence. An interconnected diversity. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12, 14 and 15. He says, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Now it's important for us to understand what Paul means here by a body that is interconnected and yet diverse. You know, a healthy body has many different interconnected, interdependent parts. Not all the same. Our body is not all the parts of our body are not the same. Our hands are different than our feet. Our back is different than our front. Our arms and our legs, they're all interconnected, and yet they're so different, have different functions. And, you know, the body of Christ is, Paul says, is no different. Where a healthy body, the body of Christ, has many different parts that are all connected together. And, you know, you just have to look around the room right now. Just take a look around the room. Everybody here is different. Everybody here has different gifts, has different abilities. Not everybody is gifted in being able to play the piano or play the drums, or, you know, not everybody is gifted singer. Some people are not gifted singers. Others are. You know, the worship team, you know, not everybody is on the worship team, not everybody, and not everybody comes in and is willing to go up a ladder to put new lights in. Not everybody's willing to shovel snow. Not able to do that. But everybody in this body, everybody around this room has different gifts, abilities, different things that makes you unique. But we all are connected together. We all need each other. All the parts of the body are mutually dependent on each other through our interconnectedness. And it's so important for us to understand that because, you know, as Paul says, you know, the hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. Can't do it. Where would we be without our foot, right, Bob? Bob's experienced that recently. You know, it's hard to get around if you don't have a foot that works. When one part of the body hurts, oh yeah, we all know that, right? When one part of the body hurts, oh, the whole body hurts. Yeah, especially if it's our back, right? And our back goes out, oh my goodness, you're hobbling around. No matter how old you are, if your back goes out, right? All of us are mutually dependent on each other through our interconnectedness. And what's our interconnectedness? And that it's spelled, interconnectedness is spelled relationship, R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N-S-H-I-P-S, relationships. You know, the strength of a body is when we're connected with each other through relationships and we acknowledge one another, we encourage one another, we help each other out. You know, when things are needed in the body, we help each other. We communicate with each other through our relationships. And that's what brings us together. And you know, sometimes, it, as Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, he says, you know, sometimes we need to really work at those relationships, that interconnectivity, that, you know, and acknowledging that diversity, because sometimes it's difficult. He says, be completely humble and gentle with each other. Be patient with each other. Bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Sometimes it takes work. It's hard work sometimes to maintain that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. But it's so important as the body of Christ. We need one another. We're an interconnected diversity. And then Paul goes on to say that the body parts are indispensable. Indispensable. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we need to treat with special honor. Where would we be? Where would we be without, you know, those parts of our body that we can't see? You know, our vital organs, they're tucked away deep within our bodies and protected by all the layers of fat and tissue and everything else. Why? Because those are, as we say, our vital organs. And if they're compromised, then the health and the well-being of the body is compromised. You know, I and it may not even just be the vital organs. It might be you know, your legs or your feet. I mean, I think of my dad this last year. On January the 24th, he went into hospital in Orillia, walked into hospital. His legs were all swollen up with edema. And over the next 6 weeks, they tried to get rid of all that edema and everything. And one of his toes had to be amputated. And then after that 6 weeks, when his legs started to go down, they tried to start to get him up out of bed. And he could not get up out of bed on his own strength. Parts of his body started to shut down. His muscles wouldn't work anymore. And over the next 6 months, he became bedridden. He couldn't get out of bed. And then eventually, everything in his body started to shut down. And he passed away in August. You know, I say that because, you know, parts of our body are indispensable. When the function shuts down, it leads to death. Which basically says to me, you know, if we take that to and apply it to the body of Christ, we need each other. We need each and every one of us here in this room to be a healthy body. To be a healthy body. Our bodies do not function well when parts are injured, compromised, or missing. When you're not here, we miss you. When you're not able to do the things, be the people that you know God has called you to be within the body, we miss you. We're compromised. The body of Christ, being part of the body of Christ, is so important. Don't ever think. That you are not needed here, that you're not a vital part of this body of Christ. You are an indispensable part of this body, the body of Christ. Because that's how God has put together this body. Each part is designed to give support and functionality to each other in the body. That's who we are together. And I know we can get on each other's nerves. We can say things that might be inappropriate at times, or we can do things that, why did we? But you know what? When it comes right down to it, we've got to just learn to let those things go, to come together and work things out as the body of Christ, because we need each other in this body. And we need to treat each other with special honor, says Paul. And why do we do that? Because this body of Christ, you all here today, Edmondson Heights Baptist Church and community, Edmondson community, and even those who are watching who are not able to be here today, and you're watching by our live stream, you are part of the body of Christ. If you know, love Jesus Christ, and you're part, and you're watching today, and a part of us here today, you are part of God's personal masterpiece, the body of Christ, the church. Paul says, God has a design and purpose for his church. This is what he says. In fact, God has arranged all the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Do you know this church fellowship here is God's masterpiece? God has brought each and every one of you here today, and you may be going, well, you know, I don't know if I'm really connected or not. You know, I'm maybe not a member, or maybe I'm thinking about a membership, or maybe I'm not thinking membership. But, you know, when you come together every Sunday morning here with us, God has obviously called you here for a purpose, for a reason. And it says, as we come together and discover what it is that God is doing in each one of us, what is God doing in us collectively as a church? And it's an exciting thing to understand. Wow! We are an expression of God's purpose in the world as his body. He's brought each of us together to form this body. And here's something that you may or may not agree with me on, okay? And that's okay. You can disagree with me on this point. But we don't have an option. We really don't have an option to say whether we are in or whether we're out of the body of Christ. We don't. You know, the writer of Hebrews says, you know, some, don't be like some who are in the habit of not coming together. Because when we do that, we're exerting our individualism. Oh, I can be a Christian without coming and being part of the body of Christ. Oh, I'm okay. We don't have an option. We are part of the body of Christ by virtue of the fact that we are a redeemed person. We are part of a community. We are part of the body. And when we remove ourselves from the body for whatever reason, it's at our own spiritual health, peril of our own spiritual health and the health of the body of Christ. Yeah, you can agree with me or disagree with me on that point. We can talk about that one, okay? But I really believe we don't have an option. And that goes especially for those who are older among us. I'm getting to that category soon. But, you know, as we get older, we don't think, well, you know, I know some older members of the body of Christ in the past have just kind of said, well, you know, I can't do what I used to do. I don't have a real purpose now. And I'll just kind of just coast. That's not what being part of the body of Christ is all about. Just coasting as we age. I think it's more important that we're connected in to the body of Christ as we age. And I look at my mom as an example. My mom, when she got out of hospital after her hip replacement surgery, the first thing she said to me is, I'm going back to church on Sunday. I've been away too long. I'm going back to church on Sunday, and I'm walking down the aisle without a walker, without a cane. I'm going to be there. And she went in, and the body of Christ just welcomed her right back. And they said, we've missed you so much, because my mom wears the big hats, you know. And she doesn't sit at the back. She sits right at the very front, in the front row, right in front of the pulpit. And everybody knows my mom with her big hats. So when she wasn't there, she was missed. And when she came back, she was just welcomed and loved by the body of Christ in her church. We don't have an option, people. We need to. It's where we find love and acceptance and encouragement and the strength we need for each other. Because we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do together the things that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And part of that is to love on each other. To love on each other. And we each have that responsibility to be a functioning part of the community of believers where God has placed us. And right now, that's here at Edmondson. Until God picks you up and moves you somewhere else, another body of in expression of the body in another church around the city or outside of the city, you're here now. Be part of this body. be part of this body. You know, I came across a poem that was written that really just expresses what we've been talking about this morning in a funny kind of way. It's called 10 Little Christians. I don't know if any of you have ever seen this poem or heard this poem before, but just listen to it, okay? 10 little Christians standing in a line. One disliked the pastor, then there were nine. 9 little Christians stayed up very late. One slept in on Sunday, then there were 8. 8 little Christians on their way to heaven. One took the low road, then there were 7. 7 little Christians chirping like chicks. One disliked the music, then there were 6. 6 little Christians seemed very much alive, but one lost his interest. Then there were 5. 5 little Christians pulling for heaven's shore, but one stopped to rest. Then there were 4. 4 little Christians, each busy as a bee. One got her feelings hurt. Then there were 3. 3 little Christians knew what to do. One joined the sports crowd. Then there were 2. 2 little Christians, our rhyme is nearly done, differed with each other. It must have been a Baptist church. Differed with each other. Then there was 1. 1 little Christian can't do much, 'tis true, but brought his friend to Bible study. Then there were 2. 2 earnest Christians, each one more. That doubled their number. Then there were 4. 4 sincere Christians worked early and late, each one another. Then there were 8. 8 little Christians, if they doubled as before, in just a few short weeks, we'd have 1,024. In this little jingle, there is a lesson that is true. You belong to the building or the wrecking crew. The Apostle Paul says to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. He says, now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. Each of you is part of it. So let's come back to what Charles Colson said as we started this morning's conversation. He said this, understanding the nature and character of the church is absolutely vital. For we cannot give what we do not have. We cannot impart values we do not hold. We cannot do until we are the body of Christ. To be the church, our highest calling depends on understanding the very character of the body of Christ on earth. Only then can we understand what it means to live as the people of God, serving God in today's world. As we conclude this part of the service, before we go into our time around the table this morning, I'd like you to distribute those pieces of paper back. It doesn't matter if you get the same one as you had before. There's a few extra ones on the table as well. But if you could take those back again. And what I'd like you to do right now is I'd like you to write down, and you're not going to share this with anybody else. This is something for you to take home with you today. Write down one thing that you've discovered newly today, or that you've been reminded of as being important for you concerning the body of Christ. Okay? What have you discovered newly about being part of the body of Christ today? Something that is you're just going to take home with you and just really take a grasp, maybe do a little bit more research or consider more or meditate on. One thing, just write down one thing that you're going to take away from the message today. All right, everybody done? All right, let me just pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the way that you have reminded us today of the how important it is to be part of this body that you have created. We are your workmanship. We are the ones that you've called out of the darkness into your wonderful light. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people that belong to you. All these are descriptors of what it means for us to be part of this forever family, this expression of the forever family, your forever family. And so, Lord, help us to take the things that we've learned today and not just have them go in one ear and out the other, but Lord, help us to take these things in. Help us to meditate on them. Help us to really take on newly what it means to be part of this body of Christ that comes and meets here at Emerson Heights Church. Oh Lord, just continue to teach us, continue to mold us, continue to shape us as your beautiful masterpiece. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name.